Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. Do you recognize this passage of scripture? It's so simple, yet so powerful. This verse, found in the book of Isaiah chapter 6 verse 3, has inspired countless songs, poems, and sermons for centuries. Welcome to Through the Bible. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'm so glad that you're here as our teacher, Dr. J. Vernon McGee, starts with these favorite words and then continues our study of the call and commission of the prophet Isaiah. As we'll see, Isaiah's response when encountering the holiness of God is not unlike what happens to us when we realize our brokenness in light of his holiness. It's a remarkable study, one that I hope is going to be really meaningful to you. But first, I got several letters from our fellow passengers that I think you're going to really like. First is an email from William. He lives in New York. I truly am amazed at how God works. I've been on board for several five-year trips. It never ceases to amaze me each time a prayer is offered and the lesson presented. It seems to perfectly fit in this great puzzle of life. The Holy Spirit unlocks places that are beyond our todays. William then continues, "The interesting thing is that as testimonies are offered from around the world, it has been my observation how we all are needy for God. Regardless of where we live and who we are, our being has an innate longing for something bigger, something more. And the passion, as Dr. McGee, Steve, and Greg provides a glimpse of what life can be when God is at the center." Well, thank you, William, and praise God that his word is growing deeper in our hearts, no matter if this is our first trip on the Bible bus or our fifth. Next, we hear from Joan in Leander, Texas. "I've listened through the app every morning on my way to work for a couple of years now. When I found the app, I was so excited that I could listen regularly. I knew about Dr. McGee because when I lived in Houston, the pastor of our church there had accepted Christ as his Savior while at Dr. McGee's church. He and Dr. McGee spent most of their lives getting the truth out. They are both in heaven now, but as always, the truth lives on, and thanks to amazing technology, I can have it with me at all times on my phone." And then Joan continues, "Earlier this year, I joined the World Prayer Team. Way to go, Joan. And sometimes the stories seem so extreme. I'm always surprised at those persecuted by their family members, many of them threatened with death. I'm amazed people are willing to risk everything just to hear the truth. It's helped my husband Tom and I put our lives in perspective. We have our health. Tom has survived a grade 4 cancerous brain tumor. Good jobs allow us to contribute monthly to the Bible bus, a nice home, reliable autos, and of course the precious freedom of being a United States citizen. Every time we think about complaining, we stop and remember our brothers and sisters around the world who face daily trials of all kinds, and we pray for them. We have so many things to be grateful for, and Through the Bible is high on that list. Thank you all so much for all you do to get the whole word out to the whole world." Well, thank you so much, Joan and Tom. Thank you for your perspective that I think a lot of us, as Americans at least, forget. Your faithful prayers and your financial support are such an encouragement to us, and we hope you'll continue on the Bible bus for years to come. Now, what's your story? How's God using his word in your life? We'd love to hear from you. Emailing us is easy. Just email biblebus@ttb.org, or you can send your note to Box 7100, Pasadena, California, 91109. In Canada, Box 25325, London, Ontario, N6C, 6B1. Now, as we pray, let's praise God for his holiness and then thank him for what we've learned last time, that despite our sin, his hand remains outstretched to save us. He loves to save us. Heavenly Father, we stand in awe before you. We're not worthy of you, Lord, but we are grateful that you loved us enough to send your Son to be our agent of grace and to save us from our sins. Lord, remind us that Isaiah's story is also our story, and because of Jesus Christ, we can worship before your throne. It's in his name we pray. Amen. We're off to Isaiah 6 on Through the Bible with Dr. J. Vernon McGee.
Now today, friends, we come back to the 6th chapter of Isaiah, and we're going to put in here today at the 3rd verse. And this very wonderful 6th chapter is the call and commission of Isaiah. And it came at a very dark moment. He takes us at the very beginning of this chapter, Isaiah does, to the funeral of Uzziah in the year that King Uzziah died. And in that doleful frame of mind, this man felt like things on the outside were so bad, they just continue to get worse. And so in that frame of mind, Isaiah went into the temple And there were two wonderful surprises that came to him, as we saw last time. First of all, he saw that God was on the throne. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw also the Lord upon the throne. And then he saw him high and lifted up, and his train filled the temple. And we saw there the seraphim with their six wings, and they surrounded the throne. The seraph is the one that searches out sin. The cherubim protect the throne of God. But here it's the seraphim searching out sin. And verse 3 says, "And one cried unto another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And friends, this is a picture of the holiness and the glory of our God. He's high and lifted up, and we need to see him that way. And if we had seen him that way today, it would deliver us from low living, and it would deliver us from this easy familiarity that some seem to have with Jesus. They talk of him as if he's a buddy and as if they can speak to him anyway. And my friend, you're not going to rush into the presence of God. You can't rush into his presence. He just doesn't permit that. If you come to the Father through Christ, that's the only way he can be approached today. And you never get in there because of who you are. You get in there because you're in Christ. No man cometh to the Father but by me. The Lord Jesus made that very clear. And if we are his child, we can come with boldness, but we come to a throne of grace. If you attempt to come to God today on any other basis than the grace of God that's been extended to you in Christ, friend, you won't make it. He just doesn't let you in on any other basis. He's high. And we are told here, one cried to another, "Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory." And the posts of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Now the seraphim here repeat this monotonous refrain to the high holiness of our God. And this all sets before us the one great fact that God is still on the throne, and he's a holy God. He'll not compromise with evil one whit. And he's moving forward to eliminate it from his universe. Now, what is the effect that's going to have on Isaiah? Will you note verse 5? "Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts." Now, this man, Isaiah, was God's man before this experience, but this experience had a tremendous effect upon him. It revealed to him his condition. When he saw God, he could see himself. And the problem with many of us today is that we don't walk in the light of the Word of God. If we did, we'd see ourselves. That's exactly what John meant in the first chapter of his first epistle. If we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another in the blood of Jesus Christ. God's Son just keeps on cleansing us from all sin. Because if you walk in the light, you're going to see exactly what Isaiah saw, that you're undone and that you're a man of unclean lips. You've really never seen the Lord, friend. If you feel like that you are worthy, or you merit something, or you have some claim upon him, because you and I do not at all have any claim upon him. Now, this was not only the experience of Isaiah, but very briefly, if I may go back and remind you of Job. You remember Job was a self-righteous man. Job could maintain his integrity in the presence of his friends that were attempting to tear him to bits. And they were tempting to quarter him and scatter him to the four corners of the earth. They told him he was a rotten sinner, but he looked them straight in the eye, and he says, "As far as I know, I'm a righteous man." And from his viewpoint, he was right, and he won the match against those friends. But my friend, he wasn't perfect. He came in the presence of God. You remember, And when God appeared to him and let him see who he is, this man, Job, no longer begins to talk about that he is going to maintain his righteousness. He said, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. My friend, if you will walk in the light of the Word of God, you'll see yourself and you'll know, even as a child of God, that you need the blood of Christ to cleanse you from all sin. That is the picture of mankind today. And that is the picture that you have here of this man Isaiah. You find out that this was the reaction of other men that came into the presence of God. John could say on the Isle of Patmos, I fell at his feet as dead. And Daniel said there wasn't any strength that was left in him when he came into the presence of God. And that was also the experience of Ezekiel. Ezekiel could cry out that way. And Saul of Tarsus could see himself no longer as a self-righteous Pharisee, but as a lost sinner and one that needed to be saved. And he says, what was gained to me, I counted loss that I might win Christ. He saw his need of Jesus Christ. Now we find here that immediately when a man comes in confession to him, God is there. We are told, then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he'd taken with the tongs from off the altar. Now the very interesting thing is that we are seeing here that this living coal has come from the burnt altar where sin has been dealt with. In the next chapter, we're going to have the virgin birth of Christ. Now, it's not the incarnation of Christ that saves us, it's his death upon the cross. This man here needed the live coal from off the altar, and that altar speaks of the death of Christ, the burnt altar does. And this living coal speaks of the cleansing blood of Christ that cleanses sinners from all sin. For the blood of Christ, God's Son, just keeps cleansing us from all sin. What a picture that we have here. Now he says, he laid it upon my mouth and said, lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Now he touched his lips. He is a man of unclean lips. And the condition is confession, of course. As John again, in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he's faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I believe, therefore, that this glowing coal that we have here is none other than the Lord Jesus Christ. And that now the one that was high and lifted up on the throne was the one that was lifted up on a cross also. And it's absolutely essential that he be lifted up because he came down to this earth and became one of us that he might become the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. And so the lips of this man is cleansed. And I take it that this is just an external manifestation of the fact that the inner man, it's what proceeds out of the heart of man that goes through the lips. And when the lips are cleansed, it means his heart was cleansed also. Now, what we have here is this man who says he's undone is the same one as Paul the Apostle when he cried out in Romans 7, woe is me. Only he said, O wretched man that I am. He was not a lost sinner there, but he was a saint of God, learning a lesson from God that he needed to walk in the Spirit and he couldn't live for God by himself. And it can only be accomplished by divine grace. And we are told here that there is a certain responsibility. Paul said that to a young preacher, 2 Timothy. In the second chapter, he says, if a man purge himself from these, and therefore we need to have the application of the redemption of Christ applied to our life again and again and again. Now, will you notice that after he's cleansed, that there's something happens here? And I'm going to read now verse 6. Then flew one of the seraphims unto me, having a live coal in his hand, which he'd taken with the tongs from off the altar. He laid it upon my mouth and said, Lo, this hath touched thy lips, and thine iniquity is taken away, and thy sin purged. Now he says also, I heard the voice of the Lord saying, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Now it's quite interesting, up to this time, this man, Isaiah, never heard the call of God. I think a great many Christians today that have not felt like they're called to do anything for God is simply because of the fact that they need cleansing. They haven't seen their great need as Christians. And friends, God's not going to use a dirty vessel. I can assure you that. He just doesn't do it. Now, it is quite true that there have been certain ones that have given out the word of God, and God has blessed their word. But God in time has judged them. And I don't dare mention them, but we have had here in Southern California certain ministers that for a while the blessing of God was upon them. And then they got into sin. And friends, I tell you, it wasn't long until the judgment of God came upon them. You have to be cleansed if you're going to hear the call of God. And now he hears the call, Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? And I don't need to call your attention to the fact that we have here the singular and the plural. And I believe it's the Trinity that we have. Whom shall I send, and who will go for us? The Trinity. Then said I, Here am I, send me. And now this man hears the call for the first time. And he responds to the call as a cleansed individual will. There are too many people today being asked to do something in the church who first of all ought to get things straightened out with the Lord. They need to have their lips touched with a living coal. They need to make confession of the sin that's in their lives, because their service will be sterile and it will be frustrating and be in vain until that takes place. Now, will you notice the commission that's given to Isaiah? And he said, Go and tell. That's the message. You go and tell this people. Now, this is a strange message, and I want to be very careful at this point here, because he's asked to do something that's very, very strange. He says, Go and tell this people. I hope we understand that this people at that time meant the nation Israel. Hear ye indeed, but understand not, and see ye indeed, but perceive not. Make the heart of this people fat, make their ears heavy, and shut their eyes, lest they see with their eyes, and hear with their ears, and understand with their heart, and convert and be healed. Then said I, Lord, how long? Now, this would look, as you read it, that the prophet is being sent to blind and to deafen and to harden people. And yet, I want to be very careful now. I think we can safely say that God never hardens hearts that would otherwise be soft, and that they owe their hardness to the very fact that he brings it out. He doesn't make it that way. He does not blind the eyes of those that want to see. But apart from his intervention, they would never see, of course. And it's but the foolish blasphemy of men and the enmity of God that will argue that God hardens or God blinds. He doesn't do that. And I think that we have an illustration in Scripture. And it's the light that was shining in the darkness. And yet they did not see. The Lord Jesus said, If the light in your darkness, how great is that darkness? Now I'm going to illustrate here with two illustrations, and I hope to get them in. If you take a lantern out to a barn, as I did as a boy in southern Oklahoma, You take a lantern out to a barn at night to milk that old muley cow that I used to have to milk, and you go to the corn crib. What happens? Well, the two things happen. The minute you bring light in that barn, the rats, they make for cover. Boy, they scurry around. You can hear them taking off. And then the little birds that are roosting up in the rafters, they begin to sing, twitter around. Now, light causes one to flee and the other to begin to sing. Now, did the light make a rat? No, he's a rat before the light got there. All the light did was reveal he's a rat, my friend. And the light that comes into the world, the Lord Jesus was that light. And it did two things. It caused the birds to sing and the rats to run. And let me illustrate that. Years ago, there was an explosion in a mine in West Virginia. And a great many men were blocked off because of a cave-in. And after several days, they dug through to them. And one of the first things that got to them was a light. And when the light came on, a fine young man standing there, that was one of the miners that had been trapped, he said, when the light came on, he says, "Why doesn't someone turn on the light?" And all the other miners looked at him startled. They knew he'd been blinded by the explosion. But friend, it took the light to reveal that he was blind. God blinds nobody. God hardens no heart. That when the light shines in, it reveals what an individual is, my beloved. And therefore, that's what you have here. And that is exactly when the Lord Jesus quoted this passage. And it's a very important passage. That's exactly what he meant. Now, we have over in Corinthians, and I have just time enough to read this. It's in 2 Corinthians. It's the second chapter. Will you listen to this? Verse 14. "Now thanks be unto God, which always causeth us to triumph in Christ and maketh manifest the savor of his knowledge by us in every place. For we are unto God a sweet savor of Christ in them that are saved and in them that perish. To the one we are savor of death unto death, and to the other the savor of life unto life. Who's sufficient for these things?" And I'm sure I'm not. But I often said when I was pastor of the church and would give an invitation, and there would be some that would accept. And then I would say, if you are here this morning and have rejected the Lord Jesus Christ, you came in here a lost person, and you're going out a lost person, may I say to you that I'm no longer your friend. I couldn't be, because you can't now go into the presence of God and say that you have not heard the gospel. You see what they would be? They would be the blind that now are revealed as blind because they've rejected Jesus Christ, my friend. They were blind. He didn't make them blind, but he's the light that reveals the blindness, my friend. And we always triumph. We like to boast of the number that are saved today. I want to say to you, I'd much rather boast of the fact of the thousands and right now several million people that are hearing the Word of God. That's the important thing. That's my business. And it's the business of the Spirit of God to touch hearts. Until next time, may God richly bless you, my beloved.
As Dr. McGee said, it's our business to get out the word, but it's only the Holy Spirit of God who can touch hearts and lives and transform guilty sinners into sons of God. And, you know, praise the Lord. Not only are millions of people hearing God's word in more than 250 languages on through the Bible, they're also responding in faith to what they hear. So I want to take just a minute and thank those of you who faithfully pray for this ministry and financially support this mission going out. You know, your contributions are so important, and each one is seen by God. If you believe in what Through the Bible is doing, and if the Lord has made it possible for you to give your support in prayer or financially, would you consider what He wants you to do to help? You can sign up for our World Prayer Team or give a gift online by visiting ttb.org or calling 1-800-65-BIBLE. Now, for those of you looking to continue getting into God's Word this weekend, why don't you join me for another one of Dr. McGee's never-before-aired sermons, Isaiah, Knowing the Right Persons. Listen by app, online, or see if your local station carries a Sunday sermon at ttb.org. I'm Steve Schwetz, and I'll see you next time as we look at one of the most incredible prophecies of Isaiah, the birth of Christ, that he wrote 8 centuries before Jesus showed up on the scene. That's amazing.
Jesus made it home. Unto him I owe. Sin had left a crimson stain. He washed it white as snow.
Well, ride the Bible bus for 5 years and you'll be amazed at what God teaches you from his word about what it means to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved. It's a blessing that keeps on going. That's what we believe at Through the Bible.